Herzlich willkommen bei Multilingual Stories. Mein Name ist Dr. Bettina Gruber und ich bin die Linguistin. Ich unterstütze voller Begeisterung mehrsprachige Familien mit Herz und Verstand auf ihrem individuellen Weg, damit ihre Kinder alle Familiensprachen erfolgreich und mit Leichtigkeit lernen können. In meinem Podcast bekommst du sehr persönliche Geschichten von Mehrsprachigkeit aus der ganzen Welt zu hören. Lehn dich zurück und lass dich inspirieren.
Hello and welcome to Multilingual Stories. Today we're going to do an episode in English with the wonderful, charming Gabriela Encina. Did I say that right now?
Yay!
We practiced beforehand. Gabriela is a psychologist and an expat coach. And there's many good reasons why she's working with expats. And I'm really curious to hear her story and have her share it with us. So, Gabriela, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background? Where do you come from? What's your background?
I will start from the beginning, I guess. It's easier. I'm originally from Chile. I was born there and until 10 years ago, yes, 10 years ago, I was living there. And then I met the love of my life and I moved to Austria, Vienna.
Where did you meet him?
In Chile.
Did meet him in Chile?
Yes. He was doing a round the world trip. Mm-hmm. And one of the stops was Chile. And have you heard about couchsurfing?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Before couchsurfing, there was another website called Hospitality Club. Okay. Yeah, that's ancient ages, like so long ago. And he contacted me through this website because I was hosting people there in Chile, like free and meeting people for coffee, etc. So the motto of this site was experience the land as a local, not as a tourist. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so he contacted me and we met and
I can see that the Austrian Gabriela connection kind of works.
So yeah, and of course after that it was a really hard period because we had a long distance relationship for 2 years, so it was really difficult. And I tried different ways to get to Austria without the logical step. I will tell you the logical step, and it didn't work. So after 2 years of fighting and seeing how that could work, we decided to get married, logical step, mm-hmm. and I moved to Vienna. And after that, I stayed. I will tell you about it when after, but we were there for 8 years, sorry. And then we moved to Spain because of his allergies, the weather, and the language, because I wanted to work again in Spanish. And yeah, I'm not doing that. I mean, not only, but yeah, you plan things and then something and then else happens. Exactly. So yeah, that's in a nutshell my story.
All right. So you've been away from your home country for 10 years by now.
Exactly. Right? Like 4 years, 4 days ago, it was my 10th year anniversary.
Wow. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't know. Is it congratulations?
I think so. Yeah. It's been a while. Right, these 10 years. So I'm really proud of myself that I made it in 10 years or cool. It's 10 years. Yeah.
Cool. Wow. So tell me, when you met your husband, mm-hmm. did you speak any German?
Not at all. I had a very, very good friend who lived in Berlin and I knew some words, like the typical words. I don't know. I'm not going to say them, but like one of the bigger ones was beer. Of course. No, but I didn't. And he didn't speak. I mean, he spoke in Spanish from Spain because he lived there for 8 months. But the communication was really something at the beginning because he didn't want us to speak English. Because he wanted to, because he's a streber. So he wanted to make it in Spanish because he wanted to practice his Spanish. And so, yeah, we communicate each other in Spanish. And when it was necessary, English, but I didn't speak at all.
No. Wow, amazing. So I mean, I can say now I've heard you speak German, and I mean, you lived in Vienna, you said, for 6 years, right?
Eight.
Mm-hmm. 8 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. And I mean, your German is excellent.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. But the first 2 years, that was really, difficult.
How did you do it? Did you attend courses, or did you just learn it by, no, you just picked it up?
No, both. No. But till B1.
All right.
No courses at all. Just learning by myself, because, my husband is a computer affin. He likes technology, so he had these softwares and things to learn by myself. Spanish, German, sorry. And so I got to the B1 level, and after that I started to take courses, especially conversation, like to practice my German.
Okay.
But it was really frustrating, especially the fact that I'm really eloquent in Spanish, and I know how to express myself in Spanish and in English as well. But when I wanted to say something clever or my mind, to speak my mind in German, I couldn't. I was just like a caveman, like, and it was really frustrating. I was really hard to myself about that.
I can imagine. I can mm-hmm. imagine. So you grew up monolingually, right?
Yes.
But
absolutely, I mean, monolingual. Yeah.
But yeah, like me. I mean, I grew up monolingually too. Mm-hmm. But you are completely, fully high functioning multilingual at the moment, right?
At the moment, yes. Yes. Because I really love English was my passion. Nobody in my, in my family speaks English. And in my school, also, it was really, the classes, English classes were really basic.
Okay.
But I was so passionate about it. So I started to, I don't know, hear songs and translate songs and watch TV with subtitles. And that's why I'm fluent in English now, because of my ambition to learn the language.
Cool.
And after that, of course, German. And that was, and it still is a struggle, because one side or one part of my brain is in English, the other part is in German, and they are constantly fighting who wins to take
it's
over.
It's not quite like that, but it feels like
that. I really know. In my brain, I can assure you it is like that.
Okay, I'll take that to my colleagues at the university.
And please do. Yeah, they can call me anytime. I can answer their questions. So German. When I was in Vienna, my German improved and improved, and my English was lower and lower. Let's say that until I reached a point of equilibrium of balance. Exactly. but there's still, I think, I feel it still that there is no like complete 100% German and English, but they share the percentage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you describe right now is something that's such a natural process
mm-hmm.
for multilingual people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something that I always try to tell the parents that I work with, because I think it's so important to know that the level of competence in a language can and most likely will change during the course of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Because your personal situation changes, and it keeps changing. And depending on, you know, how it changes, the languages that you speak, they change with that.
Oh, yes, yes.
And that is so important, because very often I see parents, you know, they want their children to be, you know, excellent at all their languages from the beginning. And that is not possible, because they are usually also not able to provide the equal kind of input in both or three languages. But, you know, there's just varying input, and that's reflected in the competence of the child. But what they're doing is they're laying the foundation. And like an adult can always decide, you know, like, you know, you picked up German as a grown up.
Yeah.
And you became so high functioning in that language, you know, that it's just part of your linguistic competence now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And imagine had you grown up with German and had you just had the input, you didn't even need to feel particularly confident, but had just had the foundation in your brain, and that's really in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then you met your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have exploded within a few months, basically building on that foundation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can always expand on it. And now you moved to Spain. So you're Spanish. Your Spanish probably suffered a little from living in Austria.
No, I was lucky enough to never, because we spoke constantly in Spanish home, because I was working in German. So I my life was in German, except when I spoke with my people at home, my family, my friends, or with my husband. Okay, because he didn't want to lose his Spanish, exactly.
Okay.
So
he used you.
He used me at this 10 years. I didn't.
But that's good.
But still there are differences. You know that as well, between Austria and Germany. Even though it's the same language, it's not the same language.
Yeah, I got a lesson from Gabriela for the listeners. I got a lesson in Chilean Spanish as opposed to Spanish, which is the one I am familiar with.
Of course, naturally, you're in Europe, yeah. But it's SF thing. I wanted to say, link what you said before about the children and not speaking perfectly. I saw that a lot. I see it in myself, in my clients, and in people that I work with in Vienna when they were learning German. They were so harsh on their kids because they wanted to speak it perfectly. And perfect, what is perfect? Yeah. You know, so many native language speakers, they speak in German, in Vienna, they speak so bad German. You know, and what is perfect for you? What do you want to achieve with perfection? Yeah. You know, and it's so unfair to yourself. I mean, I can be a psychologist with my level of German. It's good, it's great, but it's not perfect. It's far from perfect, but I'm still able to do it in a perfect way.
Yes.
So what is perfect? That's ask yourself that, because there's a lot of pressure to put on yourself, on your kids, on your husband or whatever.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree, which is also why... So the things that are so dear to me when I work with parents is, first of all, to make sure they have realistic expectations. I mean, that's not just important with respect to kids and language. That's, I think you will agree, so important for life in general.
Yeah.
I feel very often when I'm disappointed or down and when life is not going my way, then it's because of my expectations.
Yeah,
because of what I thought would happen and it didn't. And when what really happened isn't bad at all, maybe it's even great. It's just not what I expected.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that sometimes can get you down. But as soon as there are kids involved, I think it's a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, there's just so much damage you can do.
Yeah. Right? I mean, if I can do myself so much damage as an adult, I can even start to imagine how can affect this the kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great that your Spanish never suffered, or that you never felt your Spanish suffered, because I had that experience when I lived in the Netherlands. I lived there for 6 years. I spoke English with my not yet husband then, but we met very early on with all my colleagues. My work was in English. Everything, my entire life was in English and a little Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Dutch don't make it easy for you to speak Dutch. Really, that's so funny. Cultural differences. As soon as they detect the slightest of an accent, they will switch to English. The bus driver, the cashier at the supermarket, the man at the post office, everybody.
Okay.
You know what's so weird, because that makes people really insecure, and it's a real topic about expats in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who's from Belgium, a native Dutch speaker, but she speaks the Belgian kind of Dutch. she asked somebody something on a track, on a train track, and that guy responded in English to her.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Amazing, mm-hmm. right? So my life was in English there, basically, 99% mm-hmm. of the time, except for when, you know, I had visitors or I came to Austria or I talked to somebody on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, my English was so strong. And my German, you know, I could feel after, you know, it takes longer, of course, for your mother tongue to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. But I could feel, you know, words were missing and wouldn't come that easily anymore. It's completely natural.
Yeah. But I think it's natural. And I think for me, it's always the same. Even now that I speak to it, it's a gift to speak three languages. But it's also a struggle because, like I told you before, the Melden, there are words that...
Oh, please tell that story.
Okay. So in German, of course, there's this word, Melden, this verb. And we don't have that in Spanish. We have similar words, but not exactly that, what that means. So I use it I conjugate melden in Spanish. And I say, yo me meldeo, ich melde mich.
Which means I'll call you, basically.
I call you. Yeah. So I with my husband, because he's German, so he understands me. So I tell him I'm me meldeo. Yo me meldeo or meldeate. So yeah, I love that. Yeah. And a lot of words in German, I use it like in a sentence. I say something in Spanish and I use two words in German and then I keep going in Spanish because it summarizes exactly what I want to say and it doesn't have the same effect in English or in Spanish or vice versa, whatever.
That's an important point.
Yeah.
Such an important point. First of all multilingual people do that.
Yeah, I think.
The funny thing is that people who are not multilingual or do not speak that particular set of languages, they then think, oh, he or she doesn't know that language very well.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody speaks German and then uses, I don't know, a Turkish word all of a mm-hmm. sudden, a Spanish word, people would say, oh, her German is not that good. When in reality... You know, there are semantic differences, slight differences sometimes between words. And those multilingual people, they have this gift of being able to pick whatever they want.
Yes,
they can express exactly what they want to say in every language.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's because, you know, you just can't remember that word right now. And that happens, you know, to anybody. Like, even if you're monolingual, sometimes you can't come up with a word.
Mm-hmm.
And multilingual people have this option of just opening a different drawer and picking that word
out. Yeah.
So, and it's genius. It's a gift and it's something special. And it's not something that shows that you're not good enough at something. It's quite the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that also counts for children.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who come and say, oh, your child, it's too many languages for your child because he or she picks from there. No, he or she can just express more.
Mm. Yeah. But about that, it's so important that you spread the word, please, because it's for me, it was so like that in Vienna, especially with people, monolingual people. They assume that if you don't know it, if you want to say the word, but it suits better in another language, they assume that you don't know perfect German or whatever language. And that's really complicated for your self-esteem when you are learning the language because I have a story about that. I was working when I started to live in Vienna, I was working in a pensionisten club. So a lot of old people, and they have no patience. And they actually, when I said, okay, Entschuldigung, ich verstehe Sie nicht, können Sie ein bisschen langsamer, na? Langsamer, überhaupt nicht, nothing about langsamer, but louder. They yelled at me with the same speed and the same Undeutlichkeit. It's exactly, so that's one thing. And the other thing, and it was really frustrating. And I said, okay, danke, danke. And the other thing is one of my colleagues, she said to me, for example, akkumulieren. Yeah. She said that word doesn't exist in German. And of course, if I heard that, because I wanted to explain something about an accu, a battery, and I said accumulieren, and she said, "What is that? I don't know that word. It's you're speaking of German." Okay,
wow.
So I was so intimidated by her, and I was so self-conscious, and I felt so bad, and I came home crying to my husband, and he said, "Of course that exists. What's going
wow.
on with her?" So yeah, it's I don't know how to transmit that, but trust yourself, and I don't know. I remember that, and I feel really frustrated because that could have damaged my learning
of
process.
Course. Of course.
Because I was just getting started with German.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And she was a native speaker.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so sorry you had to have this experience. I'm so sorry. And I apologize on behalf
oh my God,
of every
please.
Austrian
yeah.
that ever
yeah.
insulted your name.
A-O's everywhere. So
it happens everywhere. That's true.
That
is so true.
Yeah.
There is one other part about the Meldeo that I really like, and that shows that it's just so much more than what people like to think. Sometimes you do not use German inflection. You do not say your melde me, but you use the Spanish inflection. You put at the end of the verb what belongs at the end of the verb,
mm-hmm.
the language that you dominantly speak at that
yes.
moment when you put take something in.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the case. Multilingual people, when they mix their languages, and it's called code mixing or code switching. There is people are actually, you know, there's research on that.
Mm-hmm.
People do not just randomly take in stuff and
mm-hmm.
randomly put it in places,
mm-hmm.
but whatever they do fits to the grammar of the language that they dominantly use at that
mm-hmm.
point.
Mm-hmm.
So they conjugate, they inflect, they do whatever needs to be done to make it fit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Which also shows, you know, there's so much knowledge behind that, right?
Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. so unfair, unfairly seen. You know, and coming back to the point of perfect, it should be perfect. I think it's perfect that I said, yo me meldeo, for example, or some other examples that you may have tons of it because of your work. And we still, I really like it, but there's a lot of people who see it as a manco, as a flaw. And because of the, I don't know, I don't want to sound so hard, but because of the society that
yeah.
tells you shouldn't do that because it's not perfect, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's what makes you unique as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is so, so precious.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So at the end of the conversations, I always like to take the focus from the personal story to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about big picture. And what I'm curious about is, so you grew up monolingually, and then all of a sudden, you know, you had this interest in English that was already great, and you invested. And then you met this Austrian man that you fell in love with, and you learned yet another language.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the bigger picture for you with all the languages that a person can speak, can operate in, can live in, can express him or herself in? How do you see that connect to bigger questions of our times right now? Do you see a connection there?
Of course, it's communication and connection. You can connect in so many levels with so many people in three, even two languages. Because you have different identities in different languages, even though your essence is the same.
Yeah.
That's for me, that's a fact. I've worked with so many people who speak so many languages, and even your core essence, of course, it's the same, but your personality, your Eigenschaften, your characteristics are different in different languages. They are more enhanced in one or the other. So you connect with people in different levels. So I think that's the gift. I mean, for my profession, but also like not only professionally, but personally, the connection that you establish with when you speak in many languages is another one. It's another level. That's my gift. I think it's so precious to be able to do that. That's the bigger picture for me.
Amazing. Yeah, it does open doors and windows and perspectives that otherwise I think you wouldn't have had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Can I tell you a story about
of course,
because I cherish so much my the time that I worked in an organization in Vienna. I was the only one not native speaker, and the level of friendships that I made because not only of course, but because of the way I talk and the way I am. Because I'm from another culture, they are so special. We bonded in a way that maybe I wouldn't bonded if I didn't speak the way I speak, and that make the mistakes that I make. For example, I always switched words, and for example, they laughed and they felt they were so endearing that I said Zitronen erpresa. And the first time that I said that, they were like five in the kitchen. They were laughing like wow. That like the whole month was about this citron and espresso because I was looking for it.
Just in case there's anybody listening okay. Who doesn't speak German, so instead of squeezing lemons, she blackmailed them.
Actually, a colleague of mine made a draw about a citron and a presa, and it was this, like with a gun. And I don't know, Schildkröten unter Funktion, or Streichelbeeren.
What?
Streichelbeeren.
Instead of what?
Instead of Strachelbeeren. And exactly, I got those reactions all the time. Instead of like, oh, what are you saying? They were like, oh my God, that's
because
so
it's
sweet.
So cute.
Exactly. And I wasn't planning to be cute. I was just trying to talk and make myself clear on something. And obviously it didn't work, but it worked in another way. And that they were more open to me. They were closer to me. Or the way that I gave hugs, for example, I'm a hugger. And nobody there, I mean, they were, but nobody allowed themselves to do that. Mm-hmm. And I started to do that, and now everybody hugs, even though I'm not there for, I don't know, 3 years now, they still do that. And they call me Gaby Abrazo in Spanish.
Yeah.
You know? So the message that I want to promote is that do your thing. The people that will be part of your life, and they will be your friends or they want to be with you, they will take you however you speak, and yes, actually they will cherish the way you speak, and they will find it sweet and enriching and beautiful, and they will want to know more about you and the way you live and whatever. So don't blame yourself or don't punish yourself because you speak poorly or not enough.
That's so beautiful. And to conclude this, I mean, the story you just told about the hugging, mm-hmm, that gives me goosebumps, mm-hmm, because, you know, it took this woman from Chile to come to Vienna into this office, you know, to be able to communicate and, you know, to just to spread the love. And that's exactly what you did.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Yeah.
And that is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I guess, yeah, I'm emotional right now. And imagine if I did refrain myself, if I would have refrained myself of doing that, because I was so subconscious about my language.
Yes, absolutely. The thing is, you would have not just taken away from yourself, you would have taken something away from the people around you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gabriela, thank you so, so much for sharing your story. I hope that one day I will get to hug you because I'm a hugger too. Even though I'm Austrian, I'm a hugger.
That's the point. That's the point. Because it's like, you're an Austrian, you are not a hugger. They were all huggers. Not all, but 90%. But this, sorry.
Thank you so, so much for your time, for being here today and for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for doing this. I think it's really important. It brought me to my ancient times in Vienna, and the work that you do is so fundamental for all the multilingual people, kids, grown-ups, whatever. So I really wish that you get a lot of listeners and a lot of people listen to you and spread the word, because it's really, really important.
Thank you so, so much. Thank you. Gracias. No, sorry. Wrong, right? Gracias.
Perfect. Yay.
Tell me, please.
Okay. So we're recording now.
Okay.
Oh, I like you. I need to take a little break here, because they're being too loud outside, and I need to close some doors.
Okay.